On to item seven, a report out from the Audit Committee Chair on the December 13th Audit Committee meeting. John?
I promised not to get in the way of lunch.
There's no lunch.
God, I wish I had eaten.
That was intended to try and be humorous, but...
Speaking of experience, John, it's all in the delivery.
One more failure.
That's right.
As you may recall, we did talk about two Audit Committee decisions that the board approved at our last meeting. So I will only touch on those briefly. One was to change our charter slightly to clarify a time and date for selection of the committee membership. And the other was to approve the three-year contract for Brown and Armstrong as our ongoing auditor, with an option to renew to obtain another 3 years if we so desire at the end of the current 2017-18-19 cycle. So we've already talked about that, already approved it. The other quick items that you might have an interest in, we do have an alive and well process letter. The letter went out to 524. At the time of the meeting, we had gotten responses from 70% of those. In other words, verification that, in fact, they were alive and well. That probably has gone up. You had any?
It's current? Gone up. I don't have an.
Okay.
Closer to 80 now.
And the concept, I thought it was done very well by our staff. The requirement was that the individual who is the current beneficiary, and we had two different categories. One was in-state, one was out-of-state, one was 90, one was age 95. They were thoughtfully determined, the groupings that were asked to respond back. They were asked to respond back with a notarized copy of a form that also had a copy of a current form of ID, driver's license or government license or passport or something like that. So it was more than casual in coming back and informing us that they were alive and well. Anyway, I think the committee was very pleased with the fact that had been put into place.
Can I ask staff, did we, after sending those out, get anyone responding, oh, by the way, my mom died 6 months ago? Have we had nothing like that? Okay, I was just curious if that requirement caused some people to say, yeah, okay, I've been accepting payment, but she's really not here.
Well, it might be in that 20% we haven't heard.
Saying,
got 20% out
there. There is a follow-up process now 20%.
Yeah, we'll be sending second requests.
And we're going to change the wording a little, right? Not to be so aggressive.
Oh, my goodness.
Because that's the complaint you were getting.
Yeah.
People like, hey, I got this, and I'm 90 years old, and they're threatening to take my pension, and I can't do this. I don't have a license no more or any ID. Stuff like that.
I've got nobody to take me to
yeah,
get.
Yeah, they're worried about...
Do FaceTime, do Skype.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
I will say that I only had two complaints. Both were passed on. And I asked for the letter because I didn't get a copy of the letter. And I wanted to read what was sent out to see if these people had a legitimate complaint. And when I honestly read the letter, I didn't feel offended. But again, I'm not 90. I still have my license. I still have my passport. And so it really wasn't offensive to me to try and, but I could see where the people that I was talking about, the two that would be a problem. So if that comes through, and I know staff does this, if that comes through to help and assist them in any way they can, to get it done would really be a pleasure. And by the way, my compliments to you, Christine. A long time ago, when that woman called and she wanted her retirement to go to her granddaughter or her daughter who was cerebral palsy, or I can't remember what it was, but in any event, there wasn't proof of that, and we had trouble finding. And your staff went out to get that proof through our channels to do that. And I want to compliment you on that, because that woman was like going bananas for like 4 or 5 months, you know. I can understand her worry. I mean, tomorrow she could have passed and her daughter wouldn't have been dealt with or taken care of. You did a wonderful job doing that on your side. So I just want to say thank you for that. So I know when these complaints come up from retirees that your staff is doing what they can to help them out.
Yeah, and this was, just to mention again, this was the first time that we've done this, and there were a couple of lessons learned from this time around. So next time around, it's going to be an annual process that we do. We're not going to be selecting the same folks necessarily year after year, but, you know, we're making some changes to the process and the materials that we're sending out. But we've had some good feedback, and you know, a lot of other agencies, Social Security and some others, had a similar process, because I first asked, really, do we need a government-issued ID? Do we need a copy? You know, it's a good idea, but is this going to be a weird thing that no one else is doing? And it's really not the case. So, yeah.
So, question. So, what were the options of proof for them?
Are you alive?
Yes or no? No, I'm just curious.
It was just stated as a government-issued ID, so we would take anything that fell under. DMV in some states do home visits, so we provided them with the information to be able to contact DMV if they needed to go that route, and DMV could set up a future appointment for a home visit, and then they would notify us and we would extend the time to get there.
Gotcha. And then what was the notary that we were just talking about? I heard notary was mentioned.
Yeah.
Notarizing
the signature.
All notarized?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did the notary see their ID? Because usually when you go to a notary,
they see your ID, they take it done for it.
That's right.
So, I mean, if they have a notary, we're getting a copy of that, which they're ready to notary source. So,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. And also, too, if someone is in a facility where they can't get out, there's also, you know, a physician certification as well that can be completed.
Okay. Well, just one thing to think about is, well, hold on, let me ask another question. When we do searches for people, I know we have different searches that'll search out of state for obituaries and those type of things.
Yeah.
We pay those costs, right?
We pay a company that does that.
I'm just thinking, you know, for somebody that's 95 and maybe on a lower salary to incur a notary, I know it's a small fee, I mean, for myself, but something to consider is to have somebody for $30 and put the cost on them. It seems like it should be a cost of the board.
For us?
Just a thought.
I don't know that we're going to do it every single year.
Yeah, no. The same 90-year-old person wouldn't be receiving it year after year.
If you hit 100, then it's every month? No.
Well, we were thinking quarterly, more like.
Yeah. You said that, man.
Gary gave me that one.
Oh, no, I didn't.
And you should mention that we do have notaries here that we let notaries know they could come here and get it done for free.
Oh, awesome. Oh. Well, that's great. Thank you.
We had a number of folks come in, and it was some of them got dressed up. And thank you.
Cool.
It's like well, they're
sounds like it's addressed. Sometime. Thank you so much.
Anyway, I think the committee was pleased, very pleased, with what we had done and the leadership and energy put forth by our staff, and the results, to the extent we had them, obviously. That now last 20%, if we have issues, that appears to be where they are, but they're going to follow up on all of those. So we're doing something that I think makes good sense, and I think we as a board all concurred with. And anyway, your committee was pleased with that outcome. We had we have a number of reports on payroll, employer payroll, and contribution monitoring. Colin Bishop was introduced and gave us the monitoring process that he's following as our member services manager. Henry was gave us an update on the reporting and paying on time process, and we have a process in place that should cause us to not have in the future the issue that we had a couple of years ago on somebody electing not to pay on time. So we think we're in good shape on that. And Christina talked about the pension administration system, also validating that what we're getting is complete and accurate for each employer. We had Raleigh give us a brief presentation on the audits that they are performing on three of our districts, East Contra Costa County Fire Protection District, Contra Costa County Health Services Department, obviously a piece of the county, and we had a last one, the Superior Court, that they're in process on. Each one had its own report document. He went through what they're doing in each one, the process they're following, but clearly we have a process in place that again, I think the board made clear it wanted to see, and Raleigh is, as chief and compliance officer, has assumed responsibility for, and the right things seem to be happening. Okay. I guess the last item was the backup system for the recovery site in Roseville. So that we had, used to be in San Diego.
Right.
Now is in Roseville. We had a reasonably full presentation on the setting up of that and how it would work in the, should we have a disaster that would cut us off otherwise. For the protection of our data.
Is it operational now?
I think it is, yeah.
Okay.
And that was, those are the major items of the audit committee. Any, Jerry, Todd and I were all there. Rusty obviously is not here today, Linda, but she wasn't here, so she can't speak for Rusty in it. Do you have any questions of any of us?
No, that's impressive. I just having the durable processes that you all are creating and working with is light years. So it feels like it's so much different and better than 5 years ago, which is my time horizon.
That's my sense, that it has evolved in a very positive way.
Yeah, I'm very
And our CEO certainly gets credit for that.
Well, I've got one question.
It's staff.
How long have we had Armstrong?
Brown Armstrong.
How many years have we had Armstrong?
Brown Armstrong?
Going on about 12 years.
It's going on about 12 years.
Yeah.
Have we ever done an audit on Armstrong, or have we ever entertained the thought of hiring another?
Yes, we did.
We just did an RFP.
We did an RFP on this one. And we did, I believe, 3 years before.
And they changed partners.
And they changed the engagement partner.
They changed the engagement partner.
We heard that.
And as I commented, the world I came out of, for the most part, the companies, employers,
so who,
don't
who
change auditors.
So who is going to be doing it for Armstrong
Andy
now?
Andy Paulden, who helped us before with the
He was the original person from Armstrong. He graduated from Chico State. That's why I know. But he was the original person from Armstrong. So he's coming back.
We call it recycling.
Yeah. It's a rotation.
It was a 6-year absence, and we had a brief meet to tell him what's been going on. He was with us before Cicero broke off from the county, so lots has happened. And so we did some catching up. And
So when we did the RFP, they came in as the...
So we did the RFP. We received three responses. One firm didn't meet the minimum qualifications as set forth in the RFP. One didn't really have experience with California plans and some other things. So, So we did the engagement partner rotation.
We checked recommendations. Sarahs that they've been working before.
And as far as audits, it's not a typical thing. But
I understand. We've had Paul for years too. So.
And they do typically auditing firms. They do peer reviews, which mm-hmm. they have participated in peer reviews, and we've received that information over time.
All right.
It was not a hard decision, Jerry.
Yeah, I know. It's a great firm. I know that. I mean, that's why they were with us, and that's why we hired them in the beginning. I understand that. But I didn't do the RFP, and it's been 12 years, and I know sometimes when you have the same client for a long period of time, they get into a system of doing it, and there may be something better that's surfaced over 12 years. Yep. But if we've done the RFP, we've done our due diligence.
It clearly is a niche field.
Yeah, I know.
And they're
they've got a lot of 37 Act counties. Yep. I know that.
Yeah. Yep. And it's something that, you know, CPA and auditing firms over time, you know, years ago, you used to have, you know, the then Big Four bidding on these things. Mm-hmm. And but they've really gotten away from doing this kind of work. So it's really become a pretty short list of folks that'll audit them.
Okay.
And in relation to Roseville, we're also, I wanted to mention, we are revising our disaster recovery plan, and we're looking at doing an annual test of that plan every year going forward. And we're also looking at some of the vendor relationships that we have in our insurance as well, and kind of tying that all together.
Good, because the ground's been shaking a lot lately.
Well, tectonic activity.
That was going to be my question. Is an annual test, doing a soft test like on a weekend or something like that has no impact.
So. Yeah, what's nice about the Roseville location is we actually have a dedicated space with you know, a certain number of spaces where folks can go and work and, you know, have a real real process in place.
Yeah, it's just nice to try, not only just to send people there, but it's also nice to try to pretend that you can't, that this is no longer exists or something like that, where you have to start switching services over and those type of things.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So we're anticipating doing that on an annual basis. And also around cybersecurity, there's things that we're doing as well.
Excellent. Yeah. You read my mind.
Yeah. Cause we actually, we've been having different conversations with different folks on that to make sure that we're where we need to be with that.
Excellent.
So it's in process.
Okay, John, thank you for that report out.